Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jim Rudnick, and I'm here to say we've got the greatest wrestlers in the AWA. But you're not here to listen to me mumble. Let's fill you in on the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Get on!
Wrestle Rock, be there.
We're the Midnight Rockers, Sean and Marty. We love to wrestle,
and we love to party.
You don't have to worry,
we're not gonna bumble,
cause we'll be shaking through the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Ow!
Wrestle Rock.
I'm the Sheik, and that's not funny. I got my army a lot of money. If Gunny in my way, I make him crumble. He be sorry, I did the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock, be there.
I'm Jerry Blackwell, I want to see. I want to get my hands on that pencil neck geek. As I watch the EDF fumble, I'm going to make my splash in the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
The AWA, you, me, and Wrestle Rock.
I'm Greg Gagne, and I'm in a rage. I want Brody, and I want him in a cage. A high-flying dropkick will make him see double. I grind him up at the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Woo!
Wrestle Rock.
I'm Kurt Hennig.
And Big Scott Hall. The tag team champs will take on them all.
So bring on the long riders, those dirt ball dumbos.
We'll smear those whips and do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
I've got a passion. I'll get the title back from the humanoid Hanson. I've got the brains, and I'm not humble. I'll take the belt back and do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock, April 20th, at the Dome.
Wrestle Rock, 86, be there.
I won't be through till I get done slapping around Scott the Duke. Gonna beat the ugly bartender into a bundle and laugh all the way doing Wrestle Rock Rumble. Ow!
This game dark got a mouth that won't quit, but I'm Scott the Duke and wanna smack a little shit. And when I'm through, you won't be able to mumble. I'll be left alone doing the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Yeah!
Just one last word from the former champ Burn, but give a lot of thought to one more turn. There's some old scores that still give me trouble, and I'm starting to get the urge to do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
So there you have it, and now you know him, and on April 20th, it's at the Dome. So get your ticket to be under the bubble, because you two can be doing the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Do it!
Wrestle Rock Rumble. Wrestle Rock Rumble.
The Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not much, just sitting here killing zombies.
Doing what? Killing zombies?
Yes.
What are you playing?
I'm playing Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Excellent game.
How'd you like that song?
Ooh, that was... I don't know. Byron just needs to stay with the old school. When he tries to move on, like, to progress and, like, to, like, the late 80s and stuff and the rock and wrestling, that's just... That was fucking awful. It was entertaining.
That wasn't rock and wrestling. That was rap and wrestling connection.
Jesus
but,
Christ.
But do we have our other co-host on the line?
Yes.
All right, what's going on, Craig?
Those wrestlers in the mid-80s had no rhythm.
I think Vern had the most rhythm out of all of them.
Which is sad.
Greg Gunja actually sounds pretty charismatic when he was doing his.
True.
Yeah.
G. Antonio KC. That was awful. Jerry Blackwell. At least, you know, like WWF, when they did that goofy stuff, you know, at least, like, Land of a Thousand Dances, at least that was That was like a pretty cool tune, you know, for the time.
That was actually pretty awesome. That was one of the best fucking videos.
All those
ever
things
watching that on MTV.
Were awesome. Those are all awesome.
Yeah.
That Wrestle Rock Rumble said it sounded like they just had a track playing in the background, and then they had a bunch of guys in the same room, and they, you know, would shove each other up to the mic when it was their turn, and if they were offbeat, then oh well.
You should see Ken Resnick when he's singing. He's sitting there bouncing around like he's got Parkinson's or something. I don't know. Oh, and you should have seen they had a picture of Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda with porn stashes.
Sweet.
Man, I remember when Barry used to have that. That's like fucking early 80s right there.
Mike Rotunda, he really looked like a porn star with the porn stash now.
Right. But anyway, we I guess our show this week is going to be about the Royal Rumble, since the Royal Rumble is this weekend. And I can't say I'm as excited for this one as other Rumbles, because I don't think they really hyped it overly as much as other ones. But, I mean, it is still my favorite pay-per-view of the year to watch. And, you know, so I will be missing work just to watch the Royal Rumble. So that'll be cool, an extra 3 days.
They got a new card, I think. You know, the Punk and Ziggler, and, you know, the three-way in the cage. I think this is going to be some good stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, if the three-way takes place, I heard Mark Henry might be a bit banged up.
He hyperextended his knee at SmackDown or something.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, well, they could still work around him. They could have Big Show throw him through the cage or something, you know, get rid of him kind of early or something.
That poor fucker, he's been working hard for a long time.
Right.
Oh, shit. And you got the biggest dude on the, basically the biggest dude on the roster, with a torn groin, an injury that needs rest, and the poor dude's flying all over the country.
Yeah, like you couldn't have just brought him back like this week and signed that match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anything with Bryan Daniels in it is guaranteed to be good. So, I mean, it'll still, whatever happens, it'll still be a good match.
I'm actually really...
Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead. Okay, I was going to say, I'm looking forward to actually seeing Mick Foley in the ring, just because.
It'd be awesome if you get to see him three times.
Right.
Like that one Royal Rumble where he came out as, first he came out as Cactus, and then he came out as Dude Love, and then he came out as Mankind.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be awesome.
Right.
I'm looking forward to the Royal Rumble. I think probably... I don't know. I'd say my picks are probably either Jericho or Orton to win.
I think it's pretty safe to say one or the other. I'm kind of thinking it's St. Louis. Even though they like to beat everyone in their hometown, I kind of have a feeling that Randy will end up winning. And hopefully, actually, if Mark Henry is hurt, hopefully it'll be a blessing in disguise, because hopefully that means they'll have to change plans and go with him and Danielson, and then they could have a much better match come WrestleMania, and then you could put Henry in something else. You could put him maybe in Money in the Bank or something.
I could almost see them doing a deal where it's down to Orton and Jericho does something really heelish to toss the hometown hero out at the end.
Yeah, that could work. I mean, you know, Jericho's going to do something big. I have a feeling he's going to.
Mm-hmm.
I also said there's talk of some surprises being in the Rumble, too. I've heard like Dusty Rhodes, maybe. I think maybe they can do something with him and Cody and Goldust. I've heard Tommy Dreamer. I don't know why.
No, please don't Tommy Dreamer. I don't want no Tommy Dreamer on the TV. Don't start crying.
Yeah. Only after you get tossed out.
It's like that movie Legal Zone. Doesn't he know there's no crying in wrestling?
No, only if you lose your smile.
Right. Do you think Kevin Nash will make his big return?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind.
Why not? Maybe even Taker. Uh-huh. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't think Taker, but I think it'd be cool if Booker T comes from behind commentary and jumps in the ring like Jerry the King did that one year.
As long as he doesn't last for more than a minute.
Right. Cool. So I guess we can go ahead and start running down the different rumbles here. I'm not in front of my computer right this second, so I'll let you start off the chart.
I think we were just going to go through and just cut and talk about the stories in the actual Royal Rumble matches mm-hmm. instead of the cards themselves. So,
yep,
it's a lot to get through. So let's get to it. The first Royal Rumble in 1988 was at the Cups Coliseum in Hamilton, Ontario, and was on USA opposite the pay-per-view of the Bunkhouse Stampede. And this was, I don't think it was the first Royal Rumble. I think they'd done like a dry run through at one of the house shows of the Royal Rumble earlier. And there wasn't really any story in this. The only real story was that Bret Hart went like 25 minutes and 42 seconds, starting at number one.
Yeah, that was right around the time where he was starting to slowly start to get a little bit of a push.
Yeah, because he would go into, remember like at WrestleMania a couple months later, they did a thing with him in Bad News where he turned babyface. So, yeah, that was kind of the start of his little singles push.
This is the one that Hacksaw won, correct?
Yeah, Hacksaw won. He eliminated the one-man gang. The one-man gang got most eliminations with six people. I just remember there was one spot in here where I know one of the numbers is coming down, and I can't remember which number it was, but all of a sudden Don the Rock Morocco comes out and followed right behind by Nikolai Volkoff. I guess he jumped the gun or something. And they were arguing who was going to go in the ring, and then Morocco popped him, and then he went in the ring. So. Anything else from the show?
I don't remember too much from the show, but
it wasn't much to it. It was just basically a battle royal. There wasn't like really any stories to it.
That story was the first one.
Yeah. So,
it's actually kind of funny that Hacksaw won it, of all people.
Right.
I can see him coming back here on the anniversary and being in there. You know, he's the first winner this year. So.
Yeah, that actually is pretty cool.
He canceled an appearance in Louisiana or something this weekend, so could be.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Move on to the Royal Rumble 1989 from the Summit in Houston, Texas. And, there are several things here. I think earlier in the night they were doing, like, the thing with the tumbler. And Ted DiBiase got his number. He didn't like the number. He saw Slick walking by, and so he bought Slick's number. And that would be number 30. And in this one, Kurt Hennig went the longest. He went 27 minutes and 58 seconds. They started off pretty awesome with those awesome excellent smash where numbers 1 and 2, and they beat the crap out of each other for a couple of minutes. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
I remember
that. I remember there was a spot where, this is when Andre and Jake Snake were feuding, and Andre eliminated Jake, and then he came back with Damian, and, of course, Andre eliminated himself, which means he didn't have to take the ball.
I hated that angle or that storyline where Andre was terrified of the snake.
That was awesome when he threw the snake on him and he had the heart attack.
I know. That was awesome, but for the most part, I didn't like it. But, yeah, when he almost died of the heart attack, that was pretty funny.
He got this python around his neck like he's trying to put on his necktie, and he got frustrated with it or something, you know? And then Bobby Heenan, he's ripped his shirt off, and he's pounding on his chest. He's got no heartbeat.
That's right. he wasn't pounding on his chest. He was doing double axe handles above his head to his chest.
Well, he saved Andre's life because Andre died a few years later. So yeah, he did a good deal. But I liked how that right from the very beginning they always have the gimmick of the guy who goes a long time. You know,
yeah.
And Kenny did put on a hell of a show as far as 27 because. I'm thinking he was doing a lot of false finishes going over throughout the whole match. And,
bumping all over the place.
Yeah, he was just such an awesome Bump Taker. I mean, I remember him being awesome. This also they set the record that lasted for like a long time, and they did it real early with the Warlord doing the 2 second elimination where he was like had his back to the ring, he turns around, and once he gets in the ring, he gets clotheslined by Hulk Hogan, and gets eliminated. And
Gorilla said the Warlord. Warlord's getting in the ring. He steps in and steps right back out.
even in a Royal Rumble type match, a gimmick match, they still didn't trust a Warlord to have a good match, so they had to get him out and check him.
That's right. As big as
that dude was, that dude should have been like one of the most famous wrestlers of all time. But you know,
well, if you can't move, you can't move.
So bad. Yeah.
Oh, he got hit by Milk Drop too. Well, that
doesn't
help.
Yeah, that didn't help.
He had action.
Yeah, Milk doesn't always do a body good.
Yeah. Thanks, one, Ed. I'm proud of you for that.
And the other big story is Hulk Hogan accidentally eliminated Randy Savage, so that, you know, built up leading up to the Mega Powers exploding at WrestleMania. And I think it was maybe like a week after when they had the big thing at the main event against the Twin Towers where they did the big heel turn with Savage. So.
And who won this one, Hogan?
Big John Studd.
Oh, yeah. See, that's another surprise. Like, it's pretty surprising that Big John Studd, of all people, won the match.
Yeah.
I guess they were worried he'd get hurt if he got thrown over the top rope.
Like the year they did that WrestleMania Rumble or Battle Royal, they had to make the Sheik win just because he couldn't take the bump out of the floor.
Yeah. At least they weren't doing the... At least they weren't doing the, go to WrestleMania and get a title shot at this point.
So. That's true.
No Hacksaw, no Big John Studd in the WrestleMania main event. I think they were doing the regular list and Hogan and Savage that year. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, you go to the 1990 Royal Rumble. I think this was in Orlando. And you had Ted DiBiase went 44 minutes and 47 seconds, which was the newest record.
And he was awesome. He was awesome that whole time.
Yeah. They tightened up on the rules this year, so no buying numbers, so he drew number one.
No.
Mr. Perfect, of course, drew number 30. I wrote down number one here. I don't know why. But anyway, he drew number 30 because that's the perfect draw. Then, of course, the big thing here was Hogan and Warrior squaring off for a couple of minutes, which was a huge moment. It was pretty awesome when it happened.
Everyone was going crazy, and it was awesome stare down. And Warriors, you know, for as much as maligned as the Warrior gets, I mean, he was a very intense character back then, and he was actually, I mean, he was awesome.
He was over.
I don't care what anyone says. He was freaking awesome.
He was over.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, I've been reading some of these old observers from like 87 and 88, and they've called him the anabolic warrior. And I don't know, you keep reading those in so many issues. It's like, okay, Dave, we get the joke now. He's on steroids. Okay. You can stop. I don't know. It could be a bit much when you read it month to month. And it eventually stopped. I guess as he got older, maybe he thought that was unprofessional or something, or it's kind of silly. So. He didn't do that anymore.
Same thing with Brian. Brian actually used to have a funny newsletter until he decided to grow up and be professional, and now it's not.
Professional.
It's the Cliff Notes Wrestling Observer, basically, is what it is.
Yeah.
Not saying anything.
Because you know it's
Warrior, Warrior eliminated six. I don't know if I said it previously, but Hogan eliminated 10 men. I think that was a record for a long time, and we eliminated six men in this one. But, yeah, Hogan and Warrior squared off, and eventually Hogan won. He eliminated Mr. Perfect. So.
Yeah. Also, that's another thing that they did from the beginning is always have the gimmick of somebody who always, like, whipped ass in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Kind of do that every year, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
people don't really
remember
the record or something.
The what?
that the people don't really remember unless it's a record.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't Kane like five away from beating Sean? Is that the deal that they're kind of pushing
for total?
There?
Yeah, for total, for the total eliminations throughout the years, yeah. But
okay.
I think he has the record for most eliminations. But the what I remember of the next Rumble, 91, is they did the double long gimmick. They did it wasn't just one guy going the eye doing the Iron Man. They had two people, and surprisingly, one of them was a very old he wasn't super old at the time, but he was still kind of old. Greg Valentine going 44, which, and that had to be a rib on Greg Valentine. But you know what? That whole 44, he wasn't really healthy to puffing. I mean, he was still going strong up until he got eliminated.
But
and
he
kind of
had a
Rick
rep
Mark.
For a guy that could, Gorilla would always talk about it. It takes him like 20 minutes to get warmed up. You know,
yeah.
he could go a while.
He could go a lot longer than he looked like he could go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Rick Martel went 52 minutes, so that was a fucking long time. And
wow.
Rick Martel was one of my favorite wrestlers until he became the model, because when he became the model, he never wrestled anymore.
He had that perfume on him all
the
time.
He was more...
punching kick, heel style.
Yeah, he became such a gimmick that, you know, he never wrestled. But I remember watching him and Tony Garea were so tag team when I first started. In fact, they were in the second match I ever watched was a tag match with the two of them. And they were awesome. And then, you know, he left, and then he was like the AEW champion and was like an awesome technical wrestler. And then, you know, was, you know, part of the Can-Am connection, Craig, and then Strikeforce. And then he became the motto and stopped wrestling until he made that one comeback in WCW, and then he was awesome again.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved when he had one of the best babyface comebacks I've ever seen from a babyface. Just gets fired up.
Leave it to the WWE to put perfume in a bug spray can and have him walk around and hose the fans with it.
And then his big highlight has to be his big highlight has to be one of the worst matches in the history of pro wrestling.
Oh, I disagree. That match was awesome. I love that match.
You might be one of the very few people.
I mean, it wasn't as awful as like the blindfold match with like America's Most Wanted in that cage where the thing kept falling off their heads.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
that was pretty bad.
Anyway, the only other note on this was Hogan eliminated 7 men, and he won again. So I don't think there was really anything else in this. I know Savage was supposed to be in this match, but they played it up like he was too scared of the Ultimate Warrior, because remember he caught the Warrior the title earlier in the show against Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, yeah. Was that when the scepter broke?
Yeah, over his head. Hello.
Yeah, like, well, the center fell up, flew apart before he hit him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is actually
yeah.
This is one of the best, just talking about the whole pay-per-view, this is probably one of the best WWF pay-per-views of all time, in my opinion. They had the Rockers against the Orient Express, and had an awesome tag team match to start off. And they had a pretty damn good match with the Barbarian and the Big Boss Man for some reason.
I don't believe
that. That was a hell of a match. They did, of course. Go ahead.
This is when the Boss Man was in probably the best shape of his life, and the Barbarian is always awesome.
Yeah, Boss Man, he was like, he went from like, what, 450 pounds to what, like maybe about 280 or 275 or something? Like a very short time.
Yeah, he had slimmed down big time, and he was moving around, doing like the baseball slide out of the ring and then the punch. And I mean, this is that he was at his peak. He was a badass. I mean, he was badass when he was Big Bubba, but he was actually a good worker there for a couple of years.
Yeah. He was even a good worker when he was big, like his Big Bubba and the Big Boss Man when he was still real heavy.
Yeah.
When did he have that small run that he was challenging Hogan for the title? Was that about the same time?
That
was
before.
Was that fucking 89?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I remember they had that they had like a really awesome cage match on, I think it was Saturday night's main event.
Oh, yeah, they did like the superplex spot, which is, yep. I think is probably the bump Hulk Hogan ever took in his life.
Yeah.
Well, probably unless yeah, he did something like that in Japan, but yeah, that was pretty good.
And the other things were they, of course, they had the big title change with Slaughter beating the Warrior, which was pretty awesome because I didn't figure Sergeant Slaughter in 1991. I couldn't figure that he was going to win the title.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe
yeah,
the way that they were building up the whole Iraq thing, you know, during the war and stuff like that. You know, kind of think about it, but yeah. And then they had Ted DiBiase, and that's when Virgil turned on him finally. So it was a hell of a show.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome when he turned on him. But that might have been one of the best pay-per-views of all time, but the next year, 1992, had to be possibly, if not the best Royal Rumble of all time, in the top three of all time.
It's my favorite. I mean, I think most would say that it's like, anybody that's watched for a long time would probably put this one at number one, I think.
Well, like I also, the first Stone Cold win is I like that one a lot, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that I was there live before Pro.
Yeah.
So, you know, but as far as like watching at home, yeah, this is. I think I mentioned this before. Like when Ric Flair was in the WCW NWA, you know, I hated Ric Flair. I hated his guts. You know, I always wanted Terry or Magnum or Dustin. Somebody just beat Ric Flair. God damn it, just I hated him. And then he left WCW and went to the WWF and still had his title because he sold the title because he paid the money that, you know, he had to pay like what do you call it? The champion had to pay something to have the title in case he decided to steal it or something. So he basically kind of owned the title or whatever, took it with
deposit.
Him.
Deposit.
And then, yeah. And then to me, like during the match, to me, it was like, In the 59 minutes that he was in there, he went from being one of my most hated wrestlers to one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Because to me, it was the NWA versus the WWF, and that guy,
yeah.
The one guy from the NWA, you know, he outsmarted and beat everybody from the WWF, and it was like I had like more satisfaction than him just winning, just because to me, in a way, it was the NWA, because I was still pro NWA at the time, and to me it was like a big fuck you to the WWF. So that's another reason I marked out for this match.
Yeah, and also, you know, back at this time, I was still like in my, you know, like in my really big wrestling fan mode, and I said, you know, it's like, oh God, a guy's winning the world title in a battle royal, but when you watch it, it doesn't matter. You know, he. Even though it was in a battle royal, you had to throw a guy over the top rope. He still earned it. Went 59 minutes and 26 seconds. Came in at number three.
He locked up with every single person in the match, basically.
It may have been the most star-studded Royal Rumble they ever had with some of the guys they had in there. I mean, you had Hogan, Savage, Jake the Snake, Rick Martel, The Undertaker, Davey Boy, Shawn, Boss Man, Piper. I mean, Sid, all those guys.
And then you also have the very last face-to-face matchup between Ric Flair and Kerry Von Erich, which I marked for big time.
Yeah, I had that. And I mean, at the end, it was Sid Justice eliminates Hogan, and which would lead to Sid turning on Hogan. And I just remember on the pay-per-view, the Hogan boos were pretty loud. And when they replayed it on TV, that was kind of gone. the boos were taken out, and Sid Justice was getting booed for eliminating Hogan, and Hogan wasn't getting booed for pulling him over the top rope. So a little crowd sweetening there. And the other cool thing on this show was when, you know, a couple of days earlier, the Mountie beat Bret Hart for the Intercontinental Championship, and then at the end of the match, Piper came in to help Bret, and Mountie attacked Piper, and I think this was when they were talk that Bret was going to WCW, and so they took the title off of him. And so Piper went in there against the Mountie, and which it was pretty cool because Piper never held a title in WWF, and really he never needed a title, to be honest. He was just
But
it was good. You know, he beat the Mountie, and then they had an awesome match with him and Brett at WrestleMania that year. So
that match was awesome because that match, they were both favorites, and they were both having, like, for the most part, a clean match. And then I just remember Brett was bleeding a gusher and was all, like, fucked up, and Piper went and got the chair and was going to hit him with a chair. And every time he would draw back, the fans would kind of boo, and he would stop. And then he'd pull back again, and the fans would boo more, and he would stop. And finally he was like, oh, fuck it, and he threw the chair down. And then he hooks him in the sleeper, and that's where Brett, like, used the ropes, the corner, to turn the corner to, like, flip over and get the pin when he was still in the sleeper. That was an awesome ending to a match.
Anything, Craig? This show?
Definitely. No, I got nothing. Move on.
And Jameson was in the corner of the Bushwhackers.
Jameson. I remember Jameson.
We move on to the Royal Rumble 1993. This was the first one where the winner was going to go to WrestleMania to face the champion. Bob Backlund, he breaks the record this year. He goes 61 minutes and 10 seconds. I think Ric Flair came in at, like, number three again this year, but only lasted a few minutes.
Yeah, and Bob Backlund was, like, 10 years past his prime, but still, like, I think today, as old as he is today, I think he could go into Rumble and last 60 minutes.
Guys like him and Flair, they're like freaks in nature when it comes to, like, cardiovascular stuff. You know, they're just always able to go a long time. Another big thing was the Giant Gonzalez made his debut and eliminated The Undertaker in this match with his big furry suit. I don't know what. He looked like a tree.
The bodysuit was all jacked up. And then it had those patches of fur.
Like he was a Yeti around or something.
He had the patches of fur around the bikini line, oddly enough.
He was a Mexican Yeti.
They had the appearance of that hot, fiery youngster, Carlos Colon, at about 50-something years of age in this match, as Rolon said. And hot, fiery youngster. Yeah, he looks young. He's got his forehead looked like Abdullah's. Not as bad, still.
Pretty close.
And this was one of the finishes, which was it was like one of the coolest finishes, but also one of the most stupid. When Randy Savage hits the elbow off the top rope on Yokozuna and then goes for the pin in the Royal Rumble. And then Yokozuna, he kicks out and eliminates him, and he goes right over the top rope in the kick out, which I thought was pretty awesome. So I'll forgive that.
That was pretty awesome.
And Yokozuna eliminated seven men in this match. I was kind of surprised Yokozuna won. I don't know. They just weren't doing the big guys at the time, you know, going to WrestleMania, just because of the guys that have been in the main events like the previous years. So.
Yeah, but they gave Yokozuna a big push. I mean, he was on top for a while.
He was
always around.
I love Yokozuna. He was one of the best big men, I thought.
Well, he had to get a big push because he was so large.
Yeah, he was huge. I mean, that was one big, fat motherfucker.
Yeah. He can move, though.
Eventually, that worked against him, and he passed away early.
Yeah.
Well, at the end.
They could go from, like, very, very thin to, like really huge in what seemed like a short amount of time.
Look at the Tom or
somebody like that.
Yeah. Then he also in the career Greg Gagne.
I don't know if that was he actually did or if that was just like a story or something. I don't know.
But his name was like Tokino or something at the time.
Tokino Maximus.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there towards the end of Yokozuna's career, you know, there was times where he would be sitting on the toilet and ripping them off the wall. If they were placed as such.
Hell, Rikishi was doing that too, and he was here He was only like half the size of Yokozuna.
So you can imagine what Yokozuna when he first showed up in World Class, Ed. See how small he was? I mean, he wasn't small, but, I mean, he wasn't huge. Those Samoans, they get big.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even the Usos are getting a little portly here in the last couple months.
Right when they start to get on TV, they get fat. That's not going to help with their cause.
Yeah. A fat skinny Samoan isn't a Samoan to me. So.
That's why Sivi Oppie never got over.
That's right.
If he would have gained 200 pounds and still tried to do the fire dance at 400 pounds, he'd have been the most overdue in the company.
go to the Royal Rumble 1994, which I think was from Providence, Rhode Island. And well, the big story going into this was that, Lex Luger had the title shot at SummerSlam, and he signed the contract and said that would be his only title shot. So he had to win the Royal Rumble because, well, they tried to argue that he's not allowed the title shot. He said, well, just because he's in the Royal Rumble doesn't mean he's going to win. So he had to win to get the title match at WrestleMania. And, of course, it ended with him and Bret Hart doing the double finish where they both go over the top rope.
And they did it perfectly because when they would show the replays, it looked like you couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it perfectly.
And they had a heck of a story because, earlier it was Bret Hart had his knee injured in the match with the Quebecers. And then Owen Hart turned on him, and in the words of Owen Hart, he kicked his leg out of his leg when he turned on him. So, and actually, I think this is kind of what maybe switched the going with Brett, because he got a much better response in this at the end here with Luger than Luger did.
Yeah, that fucks up everything for Luger, basically.
Because I always hear stories about Luger was at the bar before WrestleMania saying he's going to get the title or something, and that's why they changed it. I don't know if that's true or not, but, I think Brett was just more over.
Brett was more over, and then, they were giving Luger that he had the fucking bus going around the country and the Lex Express.
Maybe you do that All-American gimmick just like a killer unless your name is Kurt Angle.
That's very true.
Yeah, but was it better or worse than the Narcissist?
I don't know. They were equally bad, but Luger got over a little bit more.
I never even knew what the fuck that meant. I was like, the Narcissist? What the fuck is a Narcissist?
Really?
Like an egotistical person?
Yeah, look in the mirror, bud.
Oh, okay.
Like Gabe Sapolsky.
Oh. Good call.
I don't ever remember hearing Lex Luger go on Big Figure 4 Daily and tattletaling on people, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe that's why Vince hates.
Speaking of which, for my curiosity, what would your thing to Granny say that she mentioned on the show last night?
Oh, she put the thread up and it was already pretty full. So I sent her a private message because I had to kind of explain my question so she wouldn't automatically get offended and think I'm being an asshole, because she does that a lot. So
yes,
I kind of explained it, and I asked that question. I wasn't expecting cuts. I just threw it out there. Maybe she chose to answer it or not. And, of course, I get scolded and reprimanded for trying to cut in line. And hopefully she'll answer it next week. So I'll let her answer it, ask it next week.
Oh, so you can make us wait.
Yep, I'm going to make you wait.
Okay. I thought it was maybe a plug for the show or something, because it's something you needed to ask now.
No. There was nothing like that at all. Like I say, I just sent it as a message because I had to explain the question. And but anyway, another big story to this Royal Rumble is in this one match in just a few minutes, a perennial jobber in WCW became a superstar. when Diesel went crazy and eliminated seven guys and just looked like a fucking monster and got over like a million bucks just in a few minutes.
Yeah, maybe the best example of a guy getting over, you know, going on that elimination streak.
Yeah, it was. I mean, just even in my house, you know, people were going nuts for Diesel in this one. It was just, there was times where he was standing in the ring and there was nobody out there.
Yeah.
He had thrown everybody out and was waiting on the timer. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he talked about a career being made just from that. I mean, that shot him up to the main events, and next thing you know, he's the world champion.
When next thing you know, he's like won all three of the titles in like the next year. You know.
Yeah.
Nobody had ever done before.
And then that pretty much set him up for the major player for the rest of his career, even though he most part stuck.
Yeah, I mean, I thought his run as Diesel, I thought he was decent in the ring. I didn't think he was terrible like most people thought. I thought he was a good big man.
He was a good big man. I mean, he wasn't like a great worker or anything, but he was a good big man, and good big man doesn't really need to be a good worker.
And he had guys like, he was working all the time with like guys like Brett and Sean. So you don't need to be
Razor.
A good. Yeah, you don't need to be that good when you're working with guys like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. Bam Bam Bigelow got the Iron Man this year. He went 30 minutes and 12 seconds.
Has to be the biggest man to go that long.
They had the Undertaker died in the casket match, which I thought was awesome. Most people hated it. I love that shit.
Is that when he got attacked by like 20 people?
Yeah, he got put in a casket and then.
Inside the casket,
on the big Titantron.
And he was attacked by the Great Kabuki for the Great Kabuki in that, doing that. That was awesome. And of course, he was getting his ass kicked the whole time by The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm. And then he rose to the heavens in the smoke. And, I don't know, it was pretty awesome. They had some awesome special effects for The Undertaker back then. It was pretty cool. Most people hated it.
It was awesome though because it was The Undertaker taking on 20 dudes, and he kicked their ass for the longest time before they finally got him. You know, I mean, he put up one hell of a fucking fight. I mean, you talk about going down fighting, he went down fighting.
I remember they got I think Fuji or Cornette got the urn away from Paul Bearer and hit him in the head with it, and then it cracked and the green smoke came out.
Right. so cheesy.
That was tremendous.
Yeah.
Move on to Royal Rumble 95. This was somewhere in Florida. I don't know. Remember Pamela Anderson was there.
Oh, yeah.
She was gonna accompany the winner to WrestleMania,
and of course she did. She ended up accompanying Diesel was it Pam McCarthy?
Jenny McCarthy,
who I think actually looked hotter than Pamela Anderson did at WrestleMania.
Yes.
Came out with Shawn Michaels.
You are absolutely right.
What's the story about Shawn Michaels getting a fight with Tommy Lee backstage or something?
Mm.
Yeah, supposedly that's the big rumor, but I think that's the storyline. But I mean, Pamela Anderson still looked good, but yeah, Jenny McCartney looked unreal. I mean,
smoking.
Yeah, dude, she looked bad.
Yeah.
That's probably her peak right there. But this Royal Rumble was great, except for one thing: it was too damn short.
Yeah,
true.
I didn't like the 1 minute intervals. This was not a very star-studded Royal Rumble either. Not a lot of stars.
But they made up for it by having Shawn Michaels going at number one, and then they had David Boy Smith, who was in his prime, going at number two, and they did the storyline where the two of them, you know, outlasted everybody. And Shawn worked all together.
Yeah.
And Shawn did the gimmick of taking all the gimmicks this year because he went at number one, he went the longest, he had the most eliminations, You got to give him credit though, because when his foot hit the ground, he could have just freaked out and just like fuck, I fucked up, and then like let go and really fucked up. But he kept his head, and he kept that other leg in the air, and the announcers, you know, right away were like, you know, it's only 1 foot, you know?
Yeah, they rolled with it.
They rolled with it, so
more
I mean.
They grew up in, like, Royal Rumbles and stuff.
Yeah.
So some of the way they do these spots. It's just time to screw up.
And in some ways, it made it even better that the fact that he did kind of, like, screw up and get the foot on the floor. I mean, I think it made it more dramatic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like this Royal Rumble just for the fact that just randomly Dick Murdoch was in this Royal Rumble.
Oh, Dirty Dick.
Yeah. And,
That was a gimmick where Davey Boy actually thought Sean was out, correct? And he skinned the cat and knocked him off the... He skinned the cat, basically, and then knocked him off the top rope or the second rope, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, Dick Murdoch might have been old, but he might have been the third best worker in the match.
Probably so.
Could see that.
And they had the title match earlier, which was Diesel and Bret Hart had a hell of a match.
Oh, yeah.
It went to like a draw because the other heels kept jumping in the match and, you know, the referee would stop it to get the heels out. So finally he just called it a draw. And so that led to, it was like Bob Backlund, Owen Hart interfering against Bret. And so, of course, Bret comes out and costs them their spots in the Royal Rumble later on in the show. So that was kind of another story. Of course, the other big thing was the thing with Lawrence Taylor, which was pretty awesome, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we pushed Bigelow?
Yeah.
Bigelow pushed him.
Yeah.
Bigelow pushed him, yeah. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, because he looked like he was legit pissed off. I mean, he really played it off like he was really, you know, he made it look like a shoot, dude, you know, at first.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then they come on the air the next night and said, due to his actions last night, Scott Bigelow has been suspended for 30 days. I said, who the fuck is Scott Bigelow?
I once saw him wrestle a jobber match as John Bigelow in the WWF.
Oh, really? Was that when, like, his first run or something like that?
Yeah, when he first broke in, this is, like, early 80s, and this is before he went and became Chris Yushinoff or whatever. He was just, I just remember seeing this big dude with a tattoo on his head, and I was like, wow, this dude's big, but then he still pretty much got squashed and lost and stuff.
Move on to the 1996 Royal Rumble, and of course this was the big one when Shawn Michaels was returning after he got the little concussion from the, and he got his ass whipped by the Marines in the parking lot.
The 42nd Infantry, yes.
And they did that awesome angle the night after Survivor Series where he collapsed and everybody thought he was dead or something was wrong with him, that was one of the best angles I've ever seen at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
Where's the one where you say your daughter was saying her prayer for Shawn Michaels?
Yes, my daughter actually knelt in prayer and hoped that Shawn Michaels would be okay. And he was, thank God, he was fine.
You didn't tell her she was at work.
And then I think it was 2000. I didn't know it was at work at the time. Come on. I think it was 2007. She was actually 2007. Is that when he had his run as the champ with Jose Lothario in his corner? 2007.
1997.
That's what I meant. She actually, we were in
2007.
Hey, I got the seven right. We were in Yakima at a Superstars taping, and the main event was Shawn against Vader during that run with Vader as his competition. And Jose Lothario came up. We were sitting in the front row, and Jose Lothario comes up to Danielle and says, "Hey, you want to dance with the champ?" And she looks at me, and she goes, "Dad, can I?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so he pulled her in over the barrier, and there she was in the ring with Shawn Michaels, and she did a little dance with him. And
really? Was, I never heard this before.
Really? Oddly enough, my wife was looking for, she was trying to tell one of her coworkers about this, and she's like, "Who's Shawn Michaels? Who's Shawn Michaels?" And my wife just randomly typed in Shawn Michaels in a search engine, and there was a little caption that said, "Little girl with Shawn Michaels," and my wife found her like an amazing WWE picture of them in the ring, and it was like a year later. So my camera sucked, and luckily my good friend Nikki Six, not the bass player for Motley Crue, but he was notorious for sneaking video cameras into house shows and whatnot.
Oh,
and
he's so the guy.
he actually had a video of it, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was like 2 days after the international incident pay-per-view from Canada. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah. So anyway.
You do good things at wrestling. You don't throw pops at Sid or nothing like that.
No. I leave that to the Jews.
One of the big stories in this one was Triple H went 48 minutes and 1 second. This is
before he was all juiced up too, wasn't it?
Yeah. You remember they did the match earlier with him and Duke the Dumpster Drosy, and the loser got number one and the winner got number 30.
And he lost to Duke the Dumpster Drosy?
I think it was like a dusty finish. And they reverse decision or something.
Just the fact
wow.
that he lost in any kind of way to Duke, I mean, it shows you how far he went in wrestling from that match.
Yeah. this has had a big one for Jake Roberts.
I actually have another story about WWE gimmicks. When I was in high school, my buddy's brother-in-law, his name was Farron, he was actually training to be a pro wrestler. And then when I got involved, Brian and I got involved, the first thing we did was with this group down here in Tacoma, and this guy Farron, who was wrestling as the Pimp, was doing it. And it was my buddy's brother-in-law, and he had gone from being the trash man Randy Taylor, and then as soon as he got that gimmick, like a month later, Duke the Dumpster Drosy came in, and then he was upset about that, so he went ahead and changed his name to the Pimp Randy Taylor, and about 2 months after that, the WWE brought in the Godfather.
Well, so sending gimmicks from some no-name guy in Seattle. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Pretty funny, though. Good.
Well, it's okay, because they used to steal ideas from me when they used to call them Wrestling Observer Live in the Yada.
Okay.
You can lick it up. A lot of things that happened, I mentioned on Wrestling Observer Live on Friday, and then on Monday, what do you know?
A lot of people have retard drinks.
Dude, I
anyway.
Watched the ECW invasion, dude. It's
okay,
all me.
Good for you.
I should have got paid for it.
Yeah, and it wasn't worth a shit. So anyway,
it was for one night. It was for an hour and 59 minutes.
That was an awesome show. Let's be honest.
Well, that's a good hour and 59 minute idea. Yeah, that really works in wrestling booth. Okay, now we go. Jake Roberts returned to the WWF. He was with the Lord. He was praising Jesus.
That's right.
He had his new snake revelations with him.
Uh-huh.
The big yellow python he threw in the ring. And
sure.
This is pretty awesome. I like when he did shit like this. So.
Uh-huh.
I remember Jerry Lawler, didn't he spend like 45 minutes under the ring?
That sounds about right.
I bet he took a
he
nap
popped up there at the end. I would have. Set an alarm or something.
Take a six-pack.
And then I remember another big spot, and I still don't know how this happened, but Shawn Michaels eliminated Vader and Yokozuna at the same time.
I'm going to have to go back and find that. That sounds awesome.
They showed it on the clip. They just showed that on that Royal Rumble commercial, the stats. They show it. They show it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just looks so weird. I mean, you got these two guys, and Shawn Michaels just, like, bumps into them, and they both go over the top rope. So they kind of let Yokozuna's babyface turn and feud with Vader. Then at the end, it was, of course, Shawn Michaels coming back, and he eliminated Diesel to win the match. So, and then he went to WrestleMania against Bret Hart in the Iron Man match. So,
how many Rumbles did Shawn win?
Do what?
Shawn won two. Did he win two or three?
He won. I think this was on the other. I think he won just these two. I think.
Okay, he
Pretty
won
sure.
back to back. He won two back to back. That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, he was the first one to win. No, Hulk Hogan won two back to back Rumbles. But yeah, he won two back to back as well. So.
Okay. Now, going to 1997, this is an awful show, and partly just because I was in attendance. And but I had, I sprung the extra money. I got the fourth row. I still got the chair. The chair is actually in the next room against the wall. And I still got that I care. And then I got hassled because of this chair, because me and my buddy are walking to our car, you know, we're walking away from the Alamo Dome, and this cop's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And they're like, "Oh, we just, you know, came from the show." And he's, "Yeah, I see you stole the chairs." And we're like, "No, sir, we didn't steal them. It was part of our tickets." And then we told him to look around. And he starts to look around, and he's like, he starts seeing other people the chairs. And he's like, "I just remember," because he was an older white guy. And he's just like, "Well, I'll be damned. We'll go ahead and go."
But, I doubt WWF is going to care about chairs that, like, have, you know, artistry of, like, the Royal Rumble on the chairs, like they're going to use them again.
Yeah.
So,
like I say, it was a white cop. I'm sure he racially profiled us and shit, and he was just being
And another reason they got so many people into the Alamo Dome is because they had Taco Bell coupons with the tickets.
$5 tickets. But that was all up for deck. But they put, it wasn't a sellout. There was one small side of the upper deck that was kind of like halfway, but they did put a lot of people in that fucking stadium. I mean, there were a fucking lot of Mexicans in that motherfucker. But I remember one thing. I remember is we went to the show. Me and my buddy went to the show, and we had another buddy just kind of drop us off because we knew the parking was going to be insane. So he dropped us off, and we're walking, and right before we go in, we just decided to stop and look at the T-shirts. And this was just weeks after. This is weeks after you started to see the signs and on Raw of the Austin 316. And I just remember seeing this shirt for the first time, and I wasn't planning on buying anything at all. And at the time, I was more a Bret Hart fan than Stone Cold, but I just saw this shirt and just how awesome it was. I mean, it was so simple, Austin 316 in black. And I was like, no, I got to have that shirt. And I still got it. I still got it in my closet right now as we speak. I remember, and it's also the match where I became, like, I fell in love with Stone Cold, you know, because I was more like a Bret Hart fan, and I just remember Stone Cold just put on one hell of a show. But I also remember, you know, during the match, and you hear Bret's music, and I just remember I just jumped up and ran to the grating with my camera, and I got a bunch of pictures. None of them, which are any good because of the shitty little camera. But I got like a picture, like about three pictures where it's Bret hit Austin hitting Bret, and Bret hitting Shawn, and I mean Austin again, and he's like flying back. And I just remember that moment. It was awesome. And then that's the one where Stone Cold was throwing everybody out and looking at his wrist like it was a watch, and just like it's another match where he went from being an over. He was still a heel at the time, but this is when he started to finally start to get cheered a little bit, and slowly was becoming a babyface.
Mm-hmm. This is the one where I remember that he had the count and it went down to zero, and Jerry Lawler came out from broadcast booth to be a participant, and he got
right
in.
Oh, I remember that.
And Bret Hart and the audience, and seen him right back over the top rope, and he went back
right
and
back out.
Did commentary and didn't even remember what happened.
Put the headphones back on. That's great.
I just remember how he was like the music hit, and at first my friend, he didn't snap. He's like, "Who is it?" He's looking. I go, "Dude, no, it's the King." And as Jerry gets up and he's getting in the ring, and then me and my buddy are all screaming, Jerry! And then boom, and he's out, and he goes back to the table. We just laughed our ass off. I mean, that was awesome. It's also the show where they had a Triple A show kind of before, like the prelims were Triple A matches, and it's also the match where they had Cibernetico, they had Latin Lover, who drew some loud ass super kicks to go dust his ass. And Pearl Jr. And also Mil Moscatus, and this is also the spot where Mil Moscatus climbed the top rope and did a dive to the outside on top of Cibernetico, and I guess maybe Pearl, both of them, or it was one of them, but he dove up on one of them and eliminated himself.
That's right.
I didn't know the rules. He's Mexican. He's not been around apparently for.
The cool thing about
the mini, didn't they do like the mini Goldust or mini Vader or something?
Yeah, they had mini Vader, they had mini Goldust, who was awesome.
Mankind.
For some reason, a lot of people don't remember him. They had mini Mankind.
Yep.
Who else did they have?
The little fella in white.
The
cool thing about this was the Shotgun Saturday Night, the night before the Rumble, they had an amazing AAA match in a bar. Hysteria was in there, and that's
you
all
know
I
what,
can remember.
You know, this is, you know what's funny about that match? They introduced the wrong one as Hysteria.
Yeah, I actually did remember that. And then the greatest thing you need to go listen to right after the show, everybody who's listening, is the interaction between Stone Cold Steve Austin and one Terry Funk.
And he drove in a beer trough.
Yeah, he fell in a horse trough. By the end of the evening, and it was unbelievable. So, Shotgun Saturday Night.
I actually regret not going to that one. I missed that one. But the week before, they were doing a show. It wasn't here in San Antonio, and it was a tape. It was like a tape. You know how they used to tape? One would be live and one would be taped. They were taping. It was a taped one. So what they did is at the same bar. Well, actually, that was this bar was like two bars in one. It was a regular, like, nightclub on top, and on the bottom it was a country bar.
Okay.
And that's where Shotgun Saturday Night was. Well, what they did is they had, like, they called it a Raw party, and they had it at the top part. But it just happened to be on one of the very few nights, like, the one night every year, the street's free, and they shut the city down. It happened to be on that day. So, but I got there. I figured out how to get through the back streets. I got there. And there was a nice little crowd, but it wasn't super packed. And actually, you know, I enjoyed that more. But it was, they had Michael Hayes was there. I guess it was still Doc Hendricks at the time. I'm not sure. They had Sonny, I think. Mm-hmm. They had the Road Dog, who was still the original Double J at the time. They had Shawn Michaels, of course. And they had the very young Rocky Maivia, who... is wearing this awesome purple suit. I mean, it was fucking purple, but it was awesome, man. And I got to talk to him a couple times and stuff. And then Road Dogg was actually, like, super cool. That dude was, like, the life of the party. Sean, it was hard to get to Sean because it's just all the chicks are just, like, around Sean and stuff. And I just remember, I know I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. This one guy who looked like, he looked like the American version of Anchor. He looked just like him, but he was American. And he had the Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500, which Shawn Michaels was number one that year. So he goes and he gets Shawn to sign it, so Shawn autographs it and shit. And then he goes to Road Dogg, and Road Dogg looks, and he sees his thing. And he actually was one of the few that had a picture. And he had a picture of him, like, getting up Jarrett. So he's like, he signs the autograph. He's like, oh, man, it's cool. Check it out. And he calls The Rock, and he's like, check it out. I love this picture. It's badass. And he's showing The Rock. And So The Rock goes, oh, man, you're like so-and-so. I got to be higher than that. So he starts from the beginning, and he works his way, and he gets to like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. He's just going on, and the more he's going on, the more freaked out he's becoming. He's like, what the fuck? He's not saying anything, but you can just kind of see it in his face. He's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? So he goes through this whole thing. He can't find himself. He's like, what the hell? So he goes through it again, page by page, dude, it looked like he was setting every name. But apparently he wasn't looking too hard because he actually was in it. But he wasn't under the name Rocky Maivia. He was under the name Flex Savannah. But he was just, it was like, it. You could tell it like upset him that he wasn't in, that he didn't think he was in it. That's the only time I've ever seen a Rock look insecure in my life was that moment.
I remember the thing with Terry Funk. I remember he was, they were live on the air and he called Vince a Yankee bastard and Jim Ross an Oklahoma asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that was funny. But, and then at the very end, because like I say, the party was live, but it was a tape Raw, so they were like, you know how the commentary on the tape Raw was filmed later, so they knew what to say, so they knew to cut to the part, the Raw part. So Rocky was wrestling on the tape show, so Rocky had to stay away from the camera. They'd only show Sean or they'd show the Road Dogs, and they made sure to keep the Rocky away. But one of the very last things that they filmed is just a real quick cutaway, and I actually come out in it. The very first thing you see when they show the crowd is my top of my Spurs cap. And then they show me. But they show The Rock for like a brief second. He kind of just smiles and like waves. And on the actual Raw show, you hear Jerry Lawler, is that The Rock? like if The Rock had just wrestled on the show, and they're like, you know, on the other side of the country. I thought that was hilarious, but I might be the only one.
Yeah, this was the Royal Rumble where Austin was eliminated, but the ref didn't see it, so he came back in, and he eliminated Bret and Vader and Undertaker to win, and that led to Bret quitting the next night on Raw. But then Grand Monsoon changed it and said that they're going to have the Final Four match with Austin and Bret and Vader and Taker, see who goes to WrestleMania. And eventually that match came for the title because Shawn lost his smile and went home.
That's right.
What did your childhood match, when she find out about Shawn losing his smile?
I think she was over it by then.
Okay,
I'm not 100% sure. That was the Final Four pay per view, correct?
Yeah, and like the next In Your House or something like that.
Yeah, In Your House Final Four, and that match wouldn't have been as awesome as it was had not Vader had been busted open hard way.
God, he looked like his face was like hamburger meat.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. At one point, he actually, you know, tried to take the mask off of his face, but the mask got caught on the huge contusion and bump on his forehead. It actually, you know, stopped it from being able to be taken off. So yeah, Leon had to unbutton his mask and pull it off. He was busted so bad. That was an awesome match, though.
I just remember it was like the next night after that Final Four was when they had the thing where Paul Heyman called in.
Yeah, I actually do remember that.
And they did the ECW thing the next week, so that was pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Can y'all handle Royal Rumble 98? I got to excuse myself for like a couple minutes.
Okay, well,
yeah, hold on.
To finish on 97, Stone Cold also did the gimmick where he got won everything. He went the longest 45. He set the new record at throwing out 10 guys. And it was awesome because he was like, he came in kind of early, and then like everybody was out, and then like Road Dogg came out, and then he throws Road Dogg out. And somebody else would come out, he'd throw them out. And just really starting it was the start of the heel being the cool guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, you know, it wasn't easy. You couldn't be a baby face, you know, anymore because that was becoming uncool, and it was more popular to be an asshole and be, you know, and that's what like Stone Cold was. And then he also, of course, won this one. Going to 98, this Royal Rumble was awesome. I remember, I love this one because, especially like if you see a highlight package of just this Rumble, it's awesome because you see, first you see Cactus Jack, and then you see Dude Love, and then you see Mankind, and Foley made the first ever triple appearance in one match. And it started off with Cactus Jack and Terry Funk, so anytime you got those two guys trying to kill each other, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Wasn't he still Chainsaw Charlie at the time?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I'm not 100%, but yeah, that was his gimmick.
Yeah, and then like The Rock went in pretty early, and he lasted 51 minutes. You know, he put on a good show, and this is when he was starting to come up. And I also remember this because Austin made an awesome intro into this one because you had a bunch of guys in the ring. I think he might have had one baby face with a bunch of heels. So when Austin's music hits, all the heels stop fighting, you know.
That's
they stop
right.
fighting and they turn. And you see Mark Merrill, he's all doing his, like, boxing dancing. He's kind of behind the guys, but he's doing his little boxing thing. And everyone's just waiting for Austin. And all of a sudden you see Austin come from the opposite side, through the crowd, into the ring, kicks Merrill's ass, throw his out, and then just starts whipping ass on everybody. He only eliminated 7 men in this one, but, I mean, he I just remember, like, the video package for this one on one of the Austin, like, DVDs or probably VHS tapes was just absolutely fantastic. I mean, it looks like the greatest Royal Rumble ever just from the clips of it.
And Austin won this one by tossing The Rock out at the end. He hit him with a stunner and tossed him. And this is also the event where Undertaker and Shawn had their infamous casket match where Shawn ended up pretty much breaking his back at the time and not in the way that what's his name on Raw did on Monday. What the heck is that cat's name? Thank you.
Ooh,
Zack Ryder. Yeah, so... This is also, just reading off some of the names, here's a couple blasts from the past. Los Boricuas and Ken Shamrock was also in this. The North American NWA Heavyweight Champion, Jeff Jarrett, along with Jim Cornette. And Kama Mustafa, The Rock, D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry, of course, the Nation of Domination. And
Before Mustafa became a pimp.
Yeah, and who was the other rival gang? DOA, thank
DOA?
You.
DOA.
Yeah.
They're racist.
Yeah, good back, everybody.
It was the fake Undertaker and the Harris twin.
Yes.
Sorry, the Papa John's man was at the door.
Well, that's worth leaving the show for, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I had to go get my jalapeno and pineapple pizza.
That sounds.
What else do you have on there?
Got pepperoni and tomatoes and banana peppers.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yes, very good.
Royal Rumble 2000.
99.
A
lot of people don't like this one, but I liked it. I thought it was an awesome storyline because this is the heart of the Vince and versus Stone Cold era. So you had Vince and Stone Cold going at number one and two. So basically you had Stone Cold just beating the living shit out of Vince until he... Excuse me.
Remember when
Shane took Vince to train with the chickens? Like in Rocky, he had to chase the chickens.
The what?
No.
Where he had to chase the chickens like Sylvester Stallone did in Rocky when he was training?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, now I remember that. Now, okay, I remember that was actually pretty awesome.
He said, what the hell do you want me to do? They ain't had him chasing chickens. He gets the chicken.
And then, like, you know, Austin chases into the back and where he gets attacked and taken to the hospital. And
yeah.
Then Vince pretty much just kind of stays out of the match.
Yeah, he does announcing, I think, from there on. So.
Yeah. And then, of course, Stone Cold makes his return from the hospital to get back in It ended up coming down to Austin and Vince, but The Rock helped Vince beat Austin. And then Vince McMahon won the Royal Rumble. And it was awesome. That was one of the most awesome celebrations ever for winning the Royal Rumble.
Vince went 56 minutes and 38 seconds, but put an asterisk beside that number.
I was looking, again, at some of the names in this one. Tiger Ali Singh. Gilbert, The Acolytes, Midian, Dan the Beast, Severin, Kurgan of the Oddities. I wrestled with him on a show a couple times, actually, in Canada. And Golga?
Golga with John Penta.
Yeah. Okay, that's right.
Remember he had the mask with growth in the mask? It looked like he was deformed.
That's right.
He had the Cartman doll.
Didn't they have those weirdos from Howard Stern with them? They had Beetlejuice and Fred the Elephant Boy or something, or Eric the Retard or somebody like that.
And they had the same Final Fantasy just their intro song, which was actually wasn't half bad. Probably the best work ever.
And completely off topic on this one, this was the was this The Rock and Mankind in their I Quit match? Yeah. Brutal match. Just brutal.
It's even more unsettling when you watch Beyond the Mat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. it really becomes But I guess now we can go to 2000 since Craig was such a rush to get here.
I'm sorry. I jumped the gun.
And looking at this one, just looking at some of the highlights, it doesn't look like that great of a Royal Rumble because the Iron Man this year is only 26 minutes, and it's Test, of all people.
Mm.
And then you had Rikishi has the record for the eliminations, which is like 7, which by this time is not that much. And then you had Taka Michinoku almost dying when he landed on his face.
Oh, that was brutal. So brutal.
Who threw him over? I thought it was like Kane or somebody like that. I can't remember. But
and this is one of the times where they actually did screw up the finish. Big Show and Rock went over at the same time, and Rock was supposed to hang on, but his feet actually did touch the floor, but they ruled that he won. So they kind of had to work that into the storyline later, and they had to have the match the next month with No Way Out.
Didn't they have the security guard like come in, like kind of like testify or whatever, or state what he saw? You remember they used to have this big giant jacked up security guard with a little beret. And I forgot what his name is. But I remember I used to know it at one time when I was like second row, and he was kind of standing by the rail. I just started screaming his name, and he just looked at me like all freaked out. It was like kind of like, dude, shut the fuck up.
People always talk about the Atlas security, but this guy looked like he'd killed him by himself.
Yeah, he was giant.
He was so huge.
Yeah.
This was an awesome show, though. You had Taz beating Kurt Angle in his debut, and he got an awesome response. They were in Madison Square Garden. They had the first tables match with the Hardys and the Dudleys, which is an awesome match. Of course, Hunter and Cactus Jack in that awesome street fight.
That was awesome.
One of the couple that they had. They had one in like Madison Square Garden soon after that was just as equally good.
Go to 2001, which was in New Orleans. I was actually at this show live in the luxury box suite, drinking beer and having pizza. Of all people, Kane got the Iron Man this year, and he went 53-46, which was strange.
He was
for a guy
awesome in this match.
Yeah, he was really awesome in this match. He set the new record. He eliminated 11 men. Drew Carey was a surprise entrant.
That's right.
Along with Honky Tonk Man, and I remember Haku, the WCW Hardcore Champion. He jumped ship over the weekend.
Haku and his afro.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I just remember the Drew Carey thing was awesome, because Drew Carey gets announced, and he comes out, and he's all smiling, and basically when he gets to the ring, everyone's eliminated themselves. So he gets in the ring, and he's just, he's waving and having a good old time, and everything. And then I think that's when Kane came out right then.
Yeah, Kane, if for anybody that's never been there live when his pyro goes off, even up in a living hot. I can imagine being a ringside.
Yeah, it's
I've been in the upper. I've been in the upper deck at a show when the pyro goes off, and you feel that heat, dude. It's crazy.
This rumble was interesting because it was like right smack dab in the middle of the Attitude era, and there was actually a hardcore sequence in there at one point when Raven came in. They had the canes and garbage cans and all of that going, like, right in the middle of it, as I remember.
Yeah. And they also had Austin ended up winning in the end, but when Austin came out, Triple H came out and tagged him and busted him open. But Austin still won the match. This was another great, like, overall, it was a great show. He had the Dudleys beat Edge and Christian for the tag team titles. He had an awesome match with Benoit and Jericho in the ladder match.
Yeah.
I just remember Benoit did the suicide dive and got clocked with a chair. I'm pretty sure that's the one that made him flip out. It was so loud, flip out of their lives. So.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Anyway, they had a great match with Kurt Angle and Triple H.
Yep. Good stuff.
Overall, just an awesome show. First pay-per-view I've ever been to, so it's pretty cool. Now
going to the next year. The next year, the biggest thing, most memorable moment of this whole thing, including more memorable than Mr. Perfect making his return, is just the fact that Maven eliminated The Undertaker.
Awesome. That was such an awesome moment. The place exploded. Jim Ross just had an awesome call. Oh, my God.
And then Maven was awesome when, like, The Undertaker looked at him all pissed off and then just grabbed Maven and just beat the living shit out of Maven and beat his ass in the back and feel him like a popcorn machine and everything. I mean, just NATO was fucking whooping on Maven after that. But it was just seeing Maven eliminate The Undertaker. You talk about a holy shit moment. That's the definition of a holy shit moment, because it's like, holy shit, Damon just eliminated The Undertaker.
Yeah. And Triple H ended up winning this one when he tossed out Angle after a face buster on the knee and then clothesline him over the top for the win. And it says that this was the longest Royal Rumble matchup until 2011, which was last year, of course.
It's also, like I say, perfect. Yeah, and then he got hired because of this match.
Yeah, both of them did.
Yeah, they both did pretty good.
On to 2003, and Jericho goes the longest here. He lasted 30 minutes and 54 seconds, and he also eliminated the most people at 6. And I remember that Brock Lesnar had to beat the Big Show to qualify for the Rumble match earlier in the show, and then he eliminated The Undertaker to win. Not much here, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a really...
It
was a really, really, really bad Triple H and Scott Steiner match.
But there was a really, really, really awesome Chris Benoit-Kurt Angle match to make up for it.
Yeah.
That's true.
That was like one of the best WWF title matches I've ever seen on pay-per-view.
Yep, he was good.
Anytime the two of them wrestled was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was like
they were just perfect for each other.
Yeah.
Now going from there, we went to like a Rumble that's not much happening to a Rumble that is erased in the history books.
Yep.
And that's Royal Rumble 2004, which is the Chris Benoit Royal Rumble, where he went 61 minutes and 30 seconds. And eliminated the Big Show to win. in an awesome spot where Big Show's like picking him up and putting him over, but he's got like the guillotine on him and just takes him with him and just like hangs on. I mean,
he just teeter tottered there for like a couple of minutes, it seemed like, you know, and you see he's getting closer and he's getting closer, and finally he just tumbles over and it's like, holy shit, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. That was probably my favorite end to a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, just, yeah, that was pretty great. And it had this was one where Lesnar distracted Goldberg, and he got eliminated to set up their abortion of a match at WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was an awesome and a horrible match. The crowd made it awesome, and Lesnar just got so damn frustrated and just made for bad. And Stone Cold's in there as a ref. He's just tickled to death. He just don't know what to do.
Good.
And Miz was an entrant in this one, but was attacked by Mick Foley. And Foley took his spot because, you know, this was when he was making his return and he was going to go after Randy Orton. So.
And this, the main event of this, last man standing match between Triple H and Shawn Michaels when Shawn came back from his injury.
Okay, SummerSlam.
Yeah.
SummerSlam 2002.
Oh, my bad. My bad. This was a good match, too, though.
Did you say
that on purpose?
He's trolling, though. Is that a gimmick now? Or you didn't really just say that, did you?
Yeah, I really did just say that. Of course, you could have been professional and not called complete attention to it, but that's fine.
He has an excuse. He forgets stuff, and he was getting late at this point, so he don't remember.
No, at this point, I was married.
Okay.
Hopefully, you're still getting late. Dumbfounded.
Let's move on to 2005 while I still have a little dignity here. I was doing so well tonight, too.
Benoit, he went the longest in this one. He lasted 47:26. This was the one where he had an awesome. Daniel Pewter goes to the ring. And
it was Hardcore Holy and Benoit.
Yeah, Hardcore
right?
Holy.
Yeah.
And Benoit and I think Guerrero were in there, and they just beat the living turd out of him. They just chopped the shit out of him. And Hardcore Holy came to the ring, and he just had like this smile on his face, and I said, "Oh no, this poor bastard." That was awesome.
Dude, they just like they would hit him, and then the other one would fucking jack him, and then the other one would take a turn. And the poor kid, he knows he can't do anything. He's just there taking it, and then they ended up throwing him out. Not, you know, not too much longer, but
you should put in a key lock like he did on Angle at that one time.
Yeah, I just like, and the thing was Hardcore is like that's something he's like was known to do, and I saw it live, like you know, when Shawn Michaels was running the shows here, and. They actually brought in, I think it was like Taka and S.A. Rios to take on Danielson and Spanky. And then they had Hardcore come too. And Hardcore wrestled a guy, and he was another one up with a class, but he didn't last too much longer. But his name was Shooter Schultz. And,
I remember that too.
Yeah, and I just remember Hardcore Holly just beating the living fuck out of him in front of, like, you know, a couple, you know, a few hundred people. But, I mean, he wasn't, like, punching. I mean, he was just, like, chopping him and just, like, you could just see the enjoyment that he had doing it. I mean, it was like he was teaching him a lesson, you know. He taught him a lesson. But it was something to see. I mean, he talked about seeing somebody just beat the fuck out of somebody. That was it.
Hey, did you set this for a 2-hour show or just an hour and a half?
I set it for 2 hours.
Okay, cool. Can I go? Yeah, speaking of the Texas Wrestling Alliance, do you remember the commentator that was on there? He was
Chris DeFuentes?
Is that his name?
He was a DJ here. He actually does angles with River City Wrestling still.
Oh, really? He actually got a hold of me. He sent me a T-shirt, a Shawn Michaels autographed photo of him and Sean doing commentary together, and I got to see some of the Texas stuff on videotape. And I remember the only reason I remember Shooter Schultz is because there was like a four-way match, or there was it was Shooter Schultz against Brian Danielson, and there was like a box set up in each corner, and one of the boxes had a hockey mitt wrapped in barbed wire. You remember any of this?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Anyway, I just remembered some of that old Texas stuff, and then he sent me the tape of Sean and
Justin Gritter.
Oh,
Venom.
Venom. Thank you. Who was
Paul Diamond.
Paul Diamond. And yeah, that was good stuff. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Another spot I put down that this spot happened in 2005, actually happened in 2006, was when Paul London was on the apron and Snitsky like killed him with a clothesline, and he did a 360 off the apron.
I don't know if you guys
remember that.
Yeah, he did like the shooting star press off the apron.
Yeah, everyone should have known he was smoking pot then, because that's only a spot a stoner could come up with.
They also had Kurt Angle attacking HBK to set up their awesome match at Mania that year. Batista and John Cena in the end go over and land at the same time, and Vince comes stomping down to ringside. He runs right into the ring, and he gets in the ring and immediately collapses, and both of his quads have been torn.
Yeah.
Well, no, he tore one quad. But then he's back in the bag, walking around like a dumbass, and compensating for it, and tears the other one.
It was probably partially torn, but when he was walking back, because when he slid into the ring, he did an immediate stop.
Yeah.
You know.
he tried to stand up, but it just wasn't happening, and he just went right back down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Live TV. Can't do nothing about it. Just like live radio when you make a mistake. Anyway,
yeah.
And this is when Batista ends up beating Cena to win this one.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember another spot in this one was Muhammad Hassan came out and all the white people jumped him and threw him out, or all the Americans beat the crap out of him.
Racist. It's funny.
Royal Rumble 2006, this is the one where Ray enters at number two and sets a new record going 62 minutes and 12 seconds. And he won the match, and Triple H, I think he was like number one, and he lasted 60 minutes and 9 seconds. Other than that, I don't remember much about this Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I just remember Ray, you know, pretty much, you know, doing the whole thing. And he Ray was awesome in the match.
Yeah.
I don't hardly remember anything about this.
I just remember they were building it up because, you know, that Ray was going to go to WrestleMania because, you know, Eddie died and they were going to do that whole storyline there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it also the match where they, like, everyone lost before WrestleMania?
Yeah, everybody that was in the match or in the three-way or something.
Yeah.
And then Ray became, well, I was going to say the worst champion of all time, but Daniel Bryan, he's probably worse.
Oh, shut up.
How dare you? How dare you?
What are you talking about?
World
champion of all time. But
take 2007, Ed. I know you want to talk about this one.
2007 was awesome. Another reason it was awesome because I was in attendance again, and this was awesome. And this had one of John Cena's greatest single matches of all time because he had that awesome match with Umaga. He took them out with the ropes, basically. But, man, that was... And they had the one spot where it's like a Umaga kind of like ran across all the tables.
Yeah.
And stuff. I mean, just John Cena's greatest freaking match might have been of all time. Maybe the Punk one. But, I mean, that was awesome. I also remember... what else there? I remember it was Batista against Kennedy, and the crowd was actually turning on Batista and cheering Kennedy, and Kennedy was way more over, and that must have been the peak of his popularity because after that it was all downhill for him. And And then I remember the match. I remember like certain things from the match. I went with this one guy from that I worked with at the paper route. He was like telling me his son wanted to go and if I could get a ticket for him and stuff. So I was like, oh, this is cool. And me and him went. So we're watching it, and he was just new to wrestling and stuff, and didn't know everything. But I remember when Sabu comes running out with the table, and he sets up the table. So I turn to him, I go, watch, he's the one going through the table. And sure enough, a couple of minutes later, there goes Sabu crashing through his own table. and then, of course, probably the greatest ending to a Royal Rumble of all time. Because it went like 10 minutes, maybe more, and that's when Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker like just went at it. And
yeah,
man, it was fantastic. And I remember right in front of me, there's a guy who's in his like mid 30s with his wife. You know, he's around my age at the time, and he is like so into this fucking match. Like every time Shawn was almost going over, this dude was like having a heart attack and just, like, jumping out of his chair. And when Shawn was almost about to eliminate Undertaker, he'd be screaming and yelling and going crazy. And, you know, it finally came to the end where Undertaker threw out Shawn, and this dude it was a part of a role where the section was slowly, like, shrinking because of the entrance. So basically, it's, like, me, my friend's kid and another guy, and then it's just him and his wife. That was the role. It was two seats. And they had the railing right there. And this dude just, when Undertaker goes over, he just starts hammering the railing, starts hammering his leg. I mean, hitting his leg and then as hard as he can. And he's so pissed off, and he's fucking crying as tears coming out of his eyes. And his wife's all, honey, honey, it's okay, it's okay. And dude, I mean, I thought this dude was going to have a heart attack and die. He was so pissed off and upset about when Shawn got eliminated. Like I say, he was a 30-something-year-old. He wasn't a kid. This is a 30-something-year-old man. I just was like, wanted to tell the guy, hey, man, don't worry about it. It's cool. It's a work. It's not real. But, Jesus, you talk about it. It's real to me, damn it. It was real to that guy.
Yeah, this is also me. And when they got it through with it, I said, man, they got to do Undertaker and Shawn Michaels here pretty soon. And it was actually like a couple of years later.
Right.
So.
But yeah, that was they were awesome. That was the greatest ending to a Rumble ever.
No. You remember anything about this, Craig?
I just remember the last, like you said, the last 10 minutes, the exchange between Shawn and Taker. Just, God, it was so good. It was like, you know, you had two of the vets in there, and Shawn was, you know, it looked like Shawn of, you know, before he got hurt. You know, it just, God, it was just awesome.
It was magic. You could see those magic coming back.
It was the best
match you've ever seen live.
They had something there, and then they waited quite a few years before pulling the trigger on the WrestleMania matches.
Yeah, they had they already had the thing set at WrestleMania this year with Taker and Batista, and pretty much Shawn and Cena, and then they did the Flair thing the next year. So, you go to Royal Rumble 2008 and HBK and Undertaker.
I got to talk about something. We just talked about the greatest ending. One of the greatest moments, though, ever in this Royal Rumble was when Jimmy Superfly Snuka made a surprise entrance into the Royal Rumble and got in a ring full of a bunch of young guys, young big guys, and Jimmy Snuka, while standing in the same spot, ran wild on every single person, including The Undertaker, and just laid everyone out while not moving from the single spot that he was in. And it was crazy, and everyone was going, everyone was going insane. And then all of a sudden, you hear bagpipe music, and everyone starts going even crazier, and you just see the look on Jimmy Snuka's face when Roddy Piper comes out, and then the two of them came out, and it was just like it was 20 years earlier, and they started trying to kill each other. And it was one of the greatest things I ever seen in my life.
I just remember there was a spot. I think it was when Piper and Snuka were going at it, and there were some guys in the ring. And CM Punk was one of them. He was sitting down there on the mat, and he was just looking up and laughing. All of a sudden, John Morrison kicks him right in the face as he's laughing. It was awesome.
Oops.
HBK and The Undertaker, they were numbers one and two in this year's Rumble. Which I thought that's kind of neat, and also told me Undertaker at least wasn't going to win. So, and of course, this is the, well, Batista went 37 minutes and 42 seconds this year. And of course, one of the greatest moments, I think, in the Royal Rumble history was when John Cena returned. Number 30, only like 4 months after tearing his pec, which was supposed to keep him out for a year. He's another freak of nature, John Cena is.
Yeah.
What was awesome about that is because, okay, this is also the height of the John, the dueling champs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he came out, all the marks were so worked about him just, showing up that they forgot they're supposed to boo and hate him. And they cheered his ass when he first came out. And then it wasn't until minutes later, he's in the ring when they remember, oh, shit, we're supposed to boo this guy.
Oh, we don't like that guy. We forgot.
And one of these marks that was in attendance and did that was my stupid ex-co-host, the Peach Machine, who hates John Cena. But, of course, he was marking out like a madman when he came out. And, of course, then he realized how stupid he was and started booing him.
Yeah, I remember you not mark out at this. This was fucking awesome.
This scooped Brian. We were watching this in my living room, and when Cena's music hit, I looked over at Brian, and he looked over at me, and we were like, huh? Really? And sure enough, nobody knew about this. A lot of the boys didn't even know about this.
I think he came in, like, at the last second, like, doing one of those things that comes from, like, the limo to the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, but it was awesome. That was an awesome moment.
Yep.
And, of course, he ended up winning the match, so. That was tremendous. I remember he got hurt. I think that was one of the times that they yelled at Kennedy because he got hurt in a match with Kennedy when he tore his pec.
Kennedy.
Maybe Kennedy was trying to, was like a little sandbagging him on the hip toss and he tore his pec. Anyway, go to 2009, the Royal Rumble. And, of course, the big story here was the week before was when Randy Orton punted Vince McMahon in the head, an awesome moment. That was killed
later when
Shane McMahon showed up and beat everybody up by himself.
Yeah, and then ended with the most boring WrestleMania main event of all time. I was there live for, and I just remember sitting there, me, Rodney, and his buddy Pete just sitting there looking at each other like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was there too. Yeah. Yep.
That was about it for this Royal Rumble. I don't think really anything else happened in it. So.
Yeah, this.
Who won this? I don't even who even won this one.
Oh, Randy Orton. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, the only highlight that I really remember from this Royal Rumble was the fact that that once again my former co-host, the Peach Machine, went to this Royal Rumble, and he also went with Rodney. Rodney was there, and. So it was Peach, Rodney, and then, of course, Jen was there with Peach. And it might have been somebody else, but all I know is that every time Randy Orton's music played, I kind of had, like, wrote, like, a text or, like, a draft to a text. So every time Randy Orton's music played, I texted all of them the opening lyrics to Randy Orton's song and just was annoying and pissing the hell out of them out. But that's the only highlight I really remember from this Royal Rumble.
I think this was the show they were doing that stupid storyline with Shawn Michaels and JBL.
Oh, that was so bad. Where Shawn
was
his boy.
Was good in it, but the whole story was just preposterous. Like, Shawn Michaels ain't got no more money.
Yeah, he was broke, and he had to be indebted to JBL. And
I think he got caught up in a hedge fund or something. I don't know.
A pyramid scheme.
A
pyramid scheme or something.
Yeah.
What was that one? I just remember there was one skit in the back where he started super kicking everybody. That was awesome.
Oh, that was the one with Hunter. I think they were doing something for Cyber Sunday, and he said, there's Bill. Hey, Bill, and he super kicks Bill or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't know why I thought it was that one.
Yeah. Anyway, you go to the next year, which was 2010, and John Cena won the Iron Man. He went 22 minutes and 11 seconds.
Everybody went to an Iron Man.
Was this the one where there was, like, way too many people in the ring at the same time?
Yes. And this is one of the ones that you knew Pat Patterson did not book.
there must have been 13 or 14 people in there at the same time. It's like a clusterfuck.
Yeah, for a long time. It really was. It was like, it wasn't that the best one, but this is the one where Edge returned from his injury and he ended up winning. But the real big story of this match wasn't really, I mean, and that's actually secondary to the story, is that HBK had a win so he could face The Undertaker at WrestleMania, but he was eliminated and didn't win, and that's the start of him going crazy.
Yeah, I remember the next night, they were doing he had one more shot. He could get in, like, the Elimination Chamber or something like that. And Randy Orton beat him. And so he ended up interfering in the Elimination Chamber and called Taker the title. And they went ahead.
The Elimination Chamber where Undertaker almost got burnt to death.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. I think somebody got fired after that one.
I would hope so.
I just remember I was getting texts from the Pizza Machine who was there, and he's like, dude, I think The Undertaker just got burnt. And I was at work. I wasn't watching it live. So I was like, oh, he's so full of shit.
No, he really did.
Come to find out, yeah, he really did. You can see him pouring water on himself, you know, when he's in the what do you call it?
Rain.
Not the rain, but the little portal or whatever. The pod, he was in the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember he tore it when the pyro went off. He was, like, coming down pretty fast, and he tore his jacket off. And I just thought he looked like he was just, like, in a mood where he was going to beat the shit out of somebody. So
yeah,
he didn't really think anything of it. Yeah. Which he was pissed off. But
yeah.
Well.
I've been pissed off, too. I almost burnt to death and died. Thank you. You know, he's lucky he wears leather to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a leather trench coat at that, you know, I mean.
Yep.
He could have came out in just his tights. They would have been glued to him, melted to him.
Yeah. go to the Royal Rumble 2011. CM Punk went 35 minutes and 22 seconds. This was the.
I love this Royal Rumble. I mean, this is one of my favorite Royal Rumbles, but I love this just for the CM Punk angle where. Basically, CM Punk, it starts off when he's like the first or second one, and then the core comes out and jumps him, and then the Nexus comes out and they fight and have the big brawl, and then they send him to the back. And then it's like him and Danielson had a good little run. And then Regal came out, and Danielson and Regal were just kicking, or Danielson was just kicking the shit out of Regal. But slowly, CM Punk keeps surviving. And then he gets Husky Harris comes to the ring and starts protecting him. And then, you know, a few more guys come in, and all of a sudden here comes McGillicuddy, here comes the Tonga. And basically he has pretty much not all, but missing one guy. So he has them all in there, and they're protecting him, and they slowly take over, and they eliminate everybody. So they slowly, first they sent out a jobber. They sent out, was it Trent Barreto or it was somebody? And they throw him out real quick. And then they move it up a notch. They send in Kozlov, and then they get rid of Kozlov. And then they up it up a little more. They send in the Truth, our Truth. They get rid of our Truth. And then they send in, the people are slowly getting more pissed off and more pissed off and more pissed off. And then they send a Great Khali. And, this Punk was awesome because he's like, oh, fuck. So the Great Khali comes in, and the Great Khali starts throwing some horrible chops that they all start overselling for. And then he gets Husky Harris, and he throws Husky Harris out, and the crowd starts to go crazy because, all right, you know, finally, these bastards are going to pay. But, of course, what's the next music? It's the Nexus music, and here comes Mason Ryan, and here we go all over again. And it lasted, and even Booker T made his appearance and was he looked awesome, and he fought him off for like a while, but, of course, they eliminated Booker, but Booker really looked awesome. And then the people are just so pissed off. You can't get any more pissed off as they are. And, of course, that's when John Cena's music hits and John Cena comes out. And slowly, and then one by one throws everybody out of the ring. It was just him and Punk. And it was awesome. And it was like it was real serious up until that point. And then they Hornswoggle comes out. They end up getting rid of, like, a Punk. And then they do the opposite where it's John Cena and Hornswoggle running wild on everyone. Like Hornswoggle did an FU on Tyson Kidd. And
that's right.
They just kicked everybody. They just did the opposite, for a while. And that was awesome. I mean, it went from being serious where you're just so pissed off to just laughing your ass off. I mean, it was just, I thought it was a greatly booked Royal Rumble.
This was also when Kevin Nash returned as Diesel and got the big pop.
Big
pop. That was pretty awesome. I just remember TNA, they were planning to reform the Main Event Mafia. And then Booker T and Kevin Nash went to WWE.
That's right. Of course, Del Rio won this.
The ending was one of the... talk about the ending, Ed.
The ending is one of the greatest things ever because slowly, like around 15 or 16, Santino had come out. And as soon as he got in the ring, he got jacked and he rolled out of the ring. And he rolled on the opposite side of the camera side. So you never see him. So Alberto Del Rio finally comes down to like Orton and Del Rio and I think somebody else. And then Del Rio ends up eliminating Orton and he starts celebrating. Ricardo starts chanting and introducing them as the new world champion. And then slowly you just see Santino's head rise. So you see like a referee like waving his hand and then you slowly see Santino just raise his shaky head up over the counter and he rolls into the ring. And Alberto's celebrating, Ricardo's still screaming and yelling, and that heel was all his strength, just musters up everything he has just to stand. And he finally gets to his feet, and he looks, and then he slaps his arm down for the Cobra, and does the Cobra, and Alberto turns right into the Cobra. And I remember we were calling this live, and I just remember screaming as loud as I could, "The Cobra!" And he hits the Cobra, and Del Rio goes down, and I was losing my fucking mind at the time. And then he does his celebration. He grabs Santino, and I'm about to cheer because that had Tino won, and it's going to be the greatest ending to a Royal Rumble ever. And unfortunately, that bastard Del Rio reversed it and drew Santino out and won the Royal Rumble for the second time in one night. It was just... That's up there. That's the second best ending next to Shawn and Undertaker. I don't care what anyone says. That was fucking awesome.
It was great after he hit the Cobra. He hit the Cobra and he starts, marching around the ring playing the trumpet and stuff. And it's just like, he's got this in the bag, and then, oh, jeez. That's phenomenal.
It was awesome. It was awesome. That was, the Santino was fantastic. I mean, it was the MVP of the match. Next to CM Punk.
So we got a few minutes left.
We got through all of that.
We got through it all in two. I can't believe it. We're improving on our time management skills.
So we got a couple minutes left. So who's your pick for the Rumble?
Orton or Jericho?
I'm going to say Jericho. I just can't see him coming back and keeping his mouth shut for, a month and a half and not lead to something huge.
And then it's going to be the end of the world as we know it.
Just because we'll feel fine.
Now,
I'm wanting to pick Randy. And then that'll cause Jericho to do something. That'll be the nail that drives him crazy.
I've been waiting for him to come out and cut the promo where he calls several of his fans how fucking stupid they are.
Yeah, that's coming, I'm sure.
Okay, but we got 6 minutes. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. And I guess we will be doing what we've been doing the last few years, and I'm sure Craig will probably be busy. Craig will probably be busy hanging photos at Brian's and fixing his garage door opener and stuff like that. But we will be calling the Royal Rumble match live on the air for the third year in a row.
We always end up watching the Rumble over at Vinny's for whatever reason. So go to Vinny's tomorrow or Sunday.
I like Vinny's house. Vinny has it's an old house, but it's pretty cool. It's fucking huge.
It's a big house.
Like balcony or patio in the back.
It'd be even better if it was his, but that's another story for another time.
Hey, you go to Brian's. You got to put pictures up and get paid in food.
Yeah, Vinny always, I don't know why, he just always likes to do the Rumble, and we go over there, we eat, and that's probably why.
That's because he likes to mention the show at his house. He don't want to watch none of these shitty shows.
Who does the cooking? Does Vinny do the cooking when he's at his house?
No, we usually barbecue, and we kind of take care of our own. And he's kind of excited because he had 7 pounds of meat sawed out over the last few weeks because of the power outage. So.
Got to eat that meat.
Yeah.
Work is bad.
Yeah, so anyway. Should be fun.
Cool.
Brian will be grouchy because he'll be coming back from UFC.
Oh, he's going to the show?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you never know with Brian. I still have doubts that it wasn't just him deciding to move the convention just because he wanted a couple months between WrestleMania.
Well, heck, since it's in July, no, who knows?
That means you have more money to save, Craig. That means you should finally make your first appearance.
I should. We'll see.
You don't have to just drink and party. There's not everyone doing that. That's just
I know,
the cool
but
people,
that's,
you know.
I've been to Vegas, and I know what goes on in Vegas, and it's just not my...
Like a lot of nice restaurants and circuits that sell shows. You can take your wife to Beatles Love.
Oh, yeah, that's something I want to do.
Hey, y'all ever go to in Las Vegas, that place where they got like the roller coaster on top of the skyscraper?
Stratosphere.
I saw that on some show on... like TLC or Bert the Conqueror or something like that, and where he rode that ride.
Yeah.
It looks scary.
Well, actually there was three. The Sahara had, am I saying that right? Sierra?
Yeah.
The Sahara it was one of those roller coasters where it goes straight, does the loop, goes up, and then comes backwards, does the loop, and goes up. It had one of those.
Yeah.
But that one's closed down. They closed that casino down. They also have a really awesome roller coaster at New York, New York, which goes around the outside of it and the buildings and
that. That one's scary. It's on top of the New York, New York, and that's scary.
Yeah, and it's a pretty steep incline, that first one. I remember I got on it with Brian Fritz, and I like roller coasters, but I was actually a little scared going up it and stuff until we started going down, and it was awesome. But they got that. And then
the roller coasters on top of skyscrapers, that kind of draw the line.
Right.
What's the one on the Stratosphere is a kiddie coaster. It just goes around in circles and takes like a couple little dips. It's not like a real, real coaster. It's more for like the scenery, take pictures. Now, that's not that scary, but they got that freaking thing on the needle that shoots you straight up in the air and down and up and down and up and down, and you're doing that like 100 feet and 100 stories in the air or whatever it is. That is pretty scary.
That one of those that like goes looks like it's going straight off the edge and then just like stops and you hang there or something.
I haven't been on that one because that's like a newer one. But yeah, it's like it kind of goes and it just stops and you're looking straight down. They also made a thing where it's like you remember the ride where you get in the thing. It's like goddamn it. How's the best way to describe it? You're just like spinning around. So they got this thing, it's like a hook, like a claw, and it goes over the edge, and this thing starts spinning, and it spins so fast that basically you're looking straight down, and it doesn't look like a very sturdy claw, and there's no way in hell I'll ever get on that one.
Good to know.
I'll never forget, though, that the needle one, the one that goes up and down like it's real fast, because it was me, my buddy Art, and two old ladies who had to be in their late 40s, early 50s, and who was the only person screaming like a little bitch but my friend.
Oh.
Not me. Fuck no.
Oh.